Dedication to ushering in the presence of God before the word gets administered. So, church family, how you guys doing? Doing good? Awesome, awesome. Ready to celebrate the Lord? As you can see, our pastors are not here today. They had to attend to some personal things this weekend. But we have an awesome, awesome, dynamic preacher in our house, Dennis Bambino. Come on, let's give him a round of applause, guys. He has been a faithful, faithful friend to this house. He has been a blessing to Pastor Rob and Pastor Gail. Have prayed for us for many, many years in terms of us getting closer to God, to advancing in the kingdom of God. So we should be grateful for Dennis to be here, to bless us with the word that God has put in his heart. And let's be excited for the word that's coming forth in our lives. Amen. Let's give him a round of praise. Thank you.
Amen. So good to be here. So good to be here. Being here is my northeast home. And as you know, some 3.5-4 years ago, we moved, released our church on Long Island and moved to Houston, or as they say, downtown Houston. But we've been down there now, and trusting God. God has done some wonderful things since we've been there. We didn't have a church. We moved there, my wife and I, to be close to our youngest daughter, Jackie, who turned out to be just 4 miles away from the house the Lord provided for us, and then put us in a wonderful church. And since then, we've done an enormous amount of traveling. To Greece, Spain, Israel, Russia, France. This year we've been in Inner China and Hong Kong and Laos, Thailand, Burma, to the persecuted church there. Just such a privilege to minister to the persecuted church, the underground church, where the pressure there is getting more and more intense. The government is becoming more and more oppressive. You probably saw on television the Hong Kong riots. Well, we were there while that was happening, almost didn't get out of the country. One of our team got out just as the airport was flooded with probably 10,000 people and shut down the entire airport. They got one of the last flights out and were able to get back home. But the persecuted church is just a vibrant, Christ-loving, empowered church that sees signs, wonders, and miracles on a regular basis, people coming to the Lord regularly. The church is alive and well in Inner China. We need to be continually praying for them. We can't even really relate in the economy that we're in to the fear that some of them have as they minister to the Lord of being broken into by authorities in the middle of the night, carried out, and disappear. But that is happening. And one very, very bold apostolic man inside China actually rents and renovates buildings to prepare for services. And then what the church does is they find out which of the buildings they're meeting in, and they'll meet there, have a worship service. They'll pray for hours and hours and hours. The authorities will come, and everybody will scatter. They'll lock it down, and the next meeting will be at another facility, okay, that he's opened up and renovated, and they have to find out about where it is, so they go there, okay, and by the time the authorities find out, they've broken open the one that they closed down, re-renovated it, all right, so they go around to about 10 different of these facilities to dodge the authorities. The pastors are constantly on the, you know, on the blacklist, could be arrested and disappear, you know, at any time. So we really need to be praying for the persecuted church. I'm expecting God to do some wonderful things here this morning. As I was preparing for this trip, I was in my office, and suddenly the smoke alarm went off in my office. I've got about six of them throughout the house, and there was no reason for it to go off. It just decided to go off. So I said, well, praise God, we got some holy smoke going on here. And that's a good sign. God, God is present. 3 days later, my wife is in the backyard. She loves to do her devotionals in our little garden. And a pipe in the garden exploded. And two geysers shot up right in front of her. And she ran outside, ran inside to get me. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, well, rivers of living water. I mean, we've got geysers coming up here. I mean, things are happening. I mean, it's a good sign. The devil wants to always shut you down, and you look at these things that he pulls out of his pocket, and I'm going, man, you're just not going to stop us. Well, he doesn't play dirty. He plays dirty. He doesn't play fair. My wife was last Wednesday, which was 2 days before we were to leave on Friday. We're all packed, ready to go. We've got 2.5 weeks of ministry in front of us, two men's retreats, leaders retreat, four churches, Spanish church, two home sessions, and this is really the kickoff. And 2 days before we're to leave, she does an aquatics class, and she gets out of the pool. We've had an enormous amount of rain in Houston, and it left one of the areas outside the pool flooded and filled with moss, and she happened to walk across it, slipped, and she broke her humerus bone in her left shoulder in three places. They call it the humerus bone. I didn't think it was humerus at all. She's in a tremendous amount of pain, but within a day, the doctor said, you're going to be in pain for 5 to 7 days. You're going to have to take some pretty heavy painkillers, and she didn't need anything the next day. So God is with her, and we know that what the enemy is meant for evil, God is going to turn to good. We prayed, we waited upon the Lord. I was about to cancel the whole trip to stay with my beloved and take care of her, because it's her left arm, and she's a lefty. She can't do anything. She's got to keep it braced like this. The x-ray showed that it wasn't disconnected and it wasn't separated, so it will heal. And we prayed for quick healing, but she has to keep it immobilized. So she needs help getting dressed and undressed, and and she's a righty. What that is when you're righty or lefty, and you have to use your, she's fumbling around trying to feed herself, and she can't sign a signature, and it's almost funny, but it's not. But we felt absolutely committed. Devil, you're not going to keep us from fulfilling our destiny. We're going to press through. We're going to move on. We're going to trust you. So I had, had to release her. How many times the devil comes in like a flood, God raises up a banner, and we've got to push back harder than ever before. Okay? Don't think that you're going to move into the promises of God and the enemy is not going to try to stop you, shut you down, shut you up, steal from you. No. Yes, he is, but we have the greater one within us. He's on our side. He's got a plan and a purpose. We're going in to get the land. Amen. So just a quick commercial. You can sign up in the lobby to get our newsletter if you would like that, and take one of our little cards. But I would just like to set the atmosphere here in worship. We've kind of been affected by country western down there, so now I have to say, forget about it, y'all. And you just adapt and to the culture. But Carrie Underwood has become one of my favorite country singers, and she sings my most favorite worship song, How Great Thou Art. So would you stand with me and let's invite the presence of the Lord. Just crank it up. Thank you, Father. Consider all Come on, let's just give Jesus a praise. Lord, you're great. You're wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness. You're a good, good God. You are so great. You are so glorious. Lord, we are here, Lord, to experience your love, to know you as we've never known you before. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you have forgiven our sins. Father, you sent Jesus to wash us, cleanse us, destroy the works of the evil one, not so that we could just go to heaven, but so that we could rejoice in your love, so that we could experience your glory, so that we could be the light of the world, so that we could be the salt of the earth, so that we could build your kingdom. And Lord, we sense, Lord, that the time is shorter than ever, ever, ever before. And Lord, the dominoes are being set up. And Lord, you're holding the first domino. And when you release it, Lord, things are going to start to come upon the earth and already coming upon the earth, Father, that are unprecedented. And Lord, your church is getting ready. Your bride is getting ready. She's preparing herself. She's moving into the fullness of what you have given to us at the cross and by your resurrection and by your sending of the Holy Spirit. We are moving into holiness. We are moving into glory. We are moving into an outpouring of your love and your power. We are moving into an unprecedented move of evangelism and healing and restoration and deliverance. Your church, Lord, your church, your people, Lord, are the product of your love. And we love you in return, Lord. We love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, with everything that we have. We love you. We love you. Give Jesus a praise. Give Jesus a praise. Come on. He's worthy. 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 Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are you, O Lord, to receive all glory and honor and power. We praise you and thank you. Hallelujah. You may be seated if you can. I'm glad I'm standing up. Whew. Oh, I just love the presence of the Lord. I just love what he's doing in the body of Christ. I love what he's doing in me. He's doing such a quick work. Over the last, even these last couple of months, he's done some stuff in me that I never thought needed to get done. And he's filling me in a way I've never been filled before. He's healing me in a way I've never been healed before. He's using me in a way that I've never been used before. I'm seeing him as I've never seen him before. I'm hearing him as I've never heard him before. And this is the privilege of the children of God to know him and to be loved by him, filled with his love, filled with his presence, filled with his glory, and overflowing into a world of darkness and hurt and despair and demon possession, setting people free so that they too might know his love. We have been privileged to be here at such a time as this. You are chosen. Jesus said he actually appointed you. And he actually called you and chose you to bear much fruit, fruit that would last, fruit that would last, to a world that needs a picture of Jesus more than ever, 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 ever before. And we are that picture. We are those people. I am that person. You are that person. When God sent Jesus into the world, Jesus changed form from being totally spirit God to being spirit and body. He took on a body. He took on our flesh. He changed form so that he could reach the world. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And by his Spirit, he is seated in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. But now he is asking, he is imploring us. He has employed us, if you will, to be the person that he uses to change form again, becoming human in us, through us, to show the world who he is. Come on, can you say amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? You are a picture of Christ. You are his hands, his feet. We say that lightly, but God wants us to display his glory. He wants us, and we know I'm so far off my message, okay, but this is the message. Listen, I didn't come to bring you a message. I came to bring you a man, and the man is Jesus. The man is Jesus. I've fallen in love with Jesus like I've never loved him before, and I didn't think this was possible. That so many months ago, the Lord just kind of confronted me. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Kind of like what he did with Peter. I said, yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. And then he added another question. He says, are you in love with me? And I said, no, Lord. Are you in love with me? Are you raptured by me? Are you pursuing me? We're going to talk about that. And I said, no, Lord, I need to be in love with you. I need to have that passion that you have for me. He has that kind of passionate love for me. And he wants us to have that passionate love for him. Look, Jesus doesn't want to be the first in your life. My wife doesn't want to be the first woman in my life because she will immediately ask me, who's number two? And they can't be a number two. She wants to be the only one. And Jesus doesn't want to be the first in your life. He wants to be the one and only true God, lover of your soul. So that I don't have to worry about pleasing number two, number three, and number four. Although number two, three, and four, they compete for first. But there isn't any first. Jesus is first and only. And so the Lord has wooed me into this place of falling in love with him. And I'm just amazed at what he's doing. I was in his presence. I went into a 7-day water fast. I said, Lord, I've got to cut the cord. I've got to cut the umbilical cord with my flesh, with the world, with my worries, my concerns, and my prayer list, and my ministry. And I have to cut the cord. If I'm going to go deeper, I've got to make a move that I've never made. You know, I've done 40-day fasts before, but I've got to do something now. I've got to do something now. And that's what I'm here to tell you. You've got to do something now. You've got to do something now to press into the presence of God. And I went into a 7-day fast. And as I was sitting in his presence one of those days, and I was just sitting and I was waiting upon the Lord, and worship music was playing. Tears were coming down my eyes. And suddenly he brought up a picture in my heart of the cross. And there was a blurry figure on the cross. And then I heard the words in my spirit, man, I bore you grief. I've carried your sorrows. And by my stripes, I have healed you. And I just broke and I melt. I didn't know there was grief and sorrow in my soul that he wanted to deal with. And the grief and the sorrow in my soul from past experiences, from things that have happened, have kept me from really being filled with joy unspeakable and filled with glory. It was an inhibitor. It was a blanket. It was holding me down. And in an instant, the grief was gone, and I was healed. And I've been praising him ever since. I guess I probably sound foolish. I don't know. I don't care. I really don't care. I don't care who I offend with my joy. I don't care who I offend with my testimony. I don't care what you think of me. God thinks everything about me. He loves me. I'd like you to love me, but I don't need your love. I don't need you to like me. I can love my enemies, and I can love my friends, and sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. But I want you to know this, and you heard this in my sharing about Jackie. The work that God wants to do, the thing that he's doing on the face of the earth, what he's bringing his church into, how he's perfecting her, how he's empowering her, how he's cleansing her, purifying her, beautifying her, all of this, giving you the kingdom, you moving out of the world deeper into him, and that is the kingdom, that is the promised land, that is all of the promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. You have Jesus, you've got all the promises, you've got Jesus, you've got the healer, you've got Jesus, you've got the provider, you've got Jesus, you've got your defender, you've got Jesus, you've got the lover of your soul, you've got everything that you need, but you've got to have Jesus. And listen, you can have all the stuff and not have Jesus and be empty. On that day, there'll be many that say, Lord, Lord, didn't we heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out demons? He said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. For you never let me know you. You never let me come in. You never became intimate with me. And you use my name, and I'm faithful to my name, and I'm faithful to my word. But what is first? What is first became last and became secondary, maybe not even part of your life. You never let me know you. I want an intimate relationship with you. That means everything else doesn't become second. It becomes negligible. It becomes nothing. It's not an issue. It's not what I'm about. I'm not about making money. I'm not about getting popularity. I'm not about being effective. I'm not about working for a living. I'm not about that stuff. I'm about loving Jesus. And he does all the rest. It was funny because a couple of days ago, I got on the plane without my wife, and I said, okay, Lord, let's go to work. Because we're committed to the kingdom. If he says go, we'll go, and we trust him with everything else. We've trusted him with a lot in a life. And so I got on the plane, I said, let's go to work. And he says, no, son, you're not going to work. You're going to rest, and I'm going to work through you. So I want you to know that if you're really serious about having the Savior of the world, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, absolutely possess you, absolutely inhabit you, absolutely take full control of your mind, your will, your emotions, your finances, the things you love, the things you don't love, the problem, absolutely, then you're going to have, if that's the goal of your life, then you're going to have aggression from the enemy. He's going to push back, and that's okay, because I do a little exercise. I try to stay in shape. Anybody that does know that resistance produces muscle. So go ahead, resist me. I'm going to show you how strong my God is. You're not going to defeat me because we've already won. I'm just going to get stronger. I'm going to get more determined. If anything happened because of what happened to my wife, it made me angry. It made me angry that there's so many Christians that are being tormented and put down and pressed down and stolen from, and they haven't entered in to the fullness of what Jesus won for them on the cross and through the resurrection. They don't know the beauty of his love. They don't know how to rest in him and let him work through them. They don't know this. And so they're tormented, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and the cunning and craftiness of men. They're too much in the world and not enough in him. And it breaks my heart, and I'm here to tell you that that has to change. There is a prophetic call upon this church and the body of Jesus Christ to go in and possess the land, to go in and get everything that God has for you. No holds barred. This is not a time. This is not a time to withdraw. This is not a time to second guess God. This is not a time to be double-minded. This is not a time to be asleep. This is not a time to slumber. This is not a time to leave it up to somebody else. This is not a time to do church. This is a time to do intimacy. This is a time to do God. It is a time for you and to take down your Goliaths. The voice is the liar. The liar that whispers to you, oh, you're not going to get well. Oh, yeah, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to steal from you everything that God's trying to give to you. Oh, really? Come on, Goliath. I may be small, and I may be ruddy, and I'm not too young anymore, but I know the one inside of me is greater than you, and you're coming down. I'm going forward. It's time to get everything out of the way that's in your way of intimacy and moving into the fullness of Jesus. And if you're gonna have a Jericho in front of you, it's time to move the Jerichos out of the way. We're going to be talking about that maybe if we get to that today. Okay, how to move the Jerichos out of your life. But you're going to have roadblocks. You're going to have things that you have to climb up onto. And you're going to have to do it not by might nor by power, not by your scheming, and not by your trying to figure out how to get out of it, how to dodge and weave it. No, but by his power. You're going to have to rely on his power if you're going to make it. And I pray that you do. It's time for us to know exactly who we are in Christ. No more guesswork. One of the things that the enemy uses against me, used against me, because it's a done deal. It's a done deal. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know I've been redeemed. I know I've been blood washed. I know I am spirit filled. I know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know I have a Father in heaven. I know my Jesus is with me, even in me. I know he sent the Holy Spirit. I know that I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I know I've got a destiny because he made a promise to me. That as I seek him, I will find him when I seek him with all my heart, and that he had a plan for me, a plan to prosper me and not to harm me. I know that he's my provider. He's always provided. He's always healed. He's always been there. He's my God. I know who I am, and I am his son. I am his son. There's no doubt about that. Oh, I've been prodigal. I've been a Peter. I've denied him. I've walked away. I tried the world again. I went back and forth and up and down, but no more. No more. I know who I am. I know who I am. Ephesians chapter 3 talks about being rooted and established in his love. Rooted means deeply, organically rooted. Established means architecturally built against the cornerstone, the rock of all ages. I am built into Christ. I am rooted in Christ. And I know who holds my hand. The saying goes, I don't know the future, but I know the one who holds the future. I don't know what the future holds, but I know the one who holds the future. I trust him. I don't trust man. And so it's time to cross over. It's time to get into the river. Stop the shallow stuff. Testing the water. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Oh, you know, Ezekiel 47, there's a river running. It's a river of glory. It's a river of his presence. It's a river of his love. It comes right from the throne, and he's calling you to get in over your head. And three out of the four people, or three out of the four steps of getting into the river, puts you with your feet on the ground. You've still got an option. You're half in and half out. I don't know if I want to trust the deep things of God. I don't know if I want to get carried away by his love. I don't know if I want to go where he wants to go. I don't know if I want to do what he wants to do. No, no, no. There's no option anymore. You're either in the world or you're in the kingdom. You're either in Christ or you're in some other God. And God's getting very serious about this. He's pressing in. He's pressing in to you and to me as never before. Why? Because the powers and principalities of darkness are pressing in against us. And unless we are inflated and filled, we will be crushed and deflated by the pressures of the world, the gods of this age, the doctrines of devils. And we won't be able to stand. But if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, I mean really filled, really worshiping, really thankful, really hearing what he has to say, really seeing what he has to do, and saying what he says and doing what he does was the secret of Jesus' great power. He was totally abiding in the Father, and out of him came signs, wonders, and miracles. He stood against the devil. He stood against the Pharisaical spirit. He stood against an adverse society, and he was able to go to the cross because he was assured of the Father's love. You'll be able to give your life when you're assured of the Father's love. Where am I? God is calling us more than conquerors. In order to go into the land like Joshua and Caleb, you've got to have another spirit. You've got to have been transformed. In order to go against Goliath, you're going to have to know God as never before. In order to have the wisdom of Daniel in a perverted Babylonian society, you're going to have to know God and hear from him with signs, wonders, with dreams, visions, downloads. And conquerors have certain things in common that I want to share with you this morning, into this afternoon and into this evening. Hope you're planning to stay. No, I'm just kidding. That'd be a test, wouldn't it? A conqueror has hunger and thirst for something they don't have. Blessed are the hungry and the thirsty, for they shall be satisfied. Listen to what Jesus says about hunger and thirst. Listen to this. This is Revelations chapter 1. I mean, this is pretty much at the end of the book, and Jesus is giving his testimony, if you will, to his church. Listen to this. Okay, he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. It has to be done for you. It has to be done for you. That's it. He's my beginning. He's my end. He's my middle. He's my all in all. It's got to be done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. Oh, that sounds so good. When I was on my 7-day fast, water tasted so good. By the 7th day, I was hungry. I was hungry, and the first morsel of food was so good. You've got to be thirsty and hungry for God and God alone. You've got to want it. You've got to press in to get it. God wants a heart that wants him. Listen, we come to church and we come to get. And God is saying to me, don't come to get, come to give. Give me praise, give me worship, give me thanks. Enter my gates with thanksgiving and my courts with praise. I'll give you, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, and he is the kingdom, he is the king, he is the Alpha and the Omega. If I come to him to give him what he wants from me, he'll give me everything that I need. But I don't come to get, I come to give. And so the scripture goes on to say, he who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Oh, wow. That's our inheritance. I will give you the kingdom. I will give you the power and the glory and the love that you needed. You were created by love, to be loved, to love. It's all about love. Where did we go wrong? Why would we want anything else? Why do we spend so many, 4.5 hours average per day per family in the United States watching television? Why do I need Fortnite? Why do I need games to play? Life is serious. Those are games. They're stupid. Why do I need other people to know everything that I'm doing? Click, click. I'm just about to go into the grocery store and look at all of the groceries that I'm about to buy for my family. How are you doing today? Click, click. Okay. Oh. You don't need Instagram. You need instant Jesus. You need Jesus to be there every minute of every day, throughout the night, in every situation. And he is, if we will sensitize ourselves and receive him as the one to whom we give all of our communication, all our love, all of our attention. Why do I need to Facebook and have my identity stolen when I can FaceTime Jesus and have my identity reinforced? Come on, the world has a web, okay? And that's not falsely identified. A web is something to entangle you. A web is something to disable you so that in proper time, at the right time, whoever created the web will devour you. God did not make me to have, you know, to be in a web. He opened prison doors. He set the captive free. I want to be hungry and thirsty for God more than I ever have before. Conquerors are also seers. They're prophetic visionaries. It was Moses that saw the entire land. He saw all of the dimensions. But it was Joshua and Caleb who went in to get it and had to have prophetic vision in order to understand what Moses had seen with his eyes. They had to see by the Spirit. You need, and I need, to see by the Spirit all of the dimensions of God. God says, I want you to experience the length, the breadth, the height, and the depth of my love. All of the dimensions of God. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, which means that the knowledge of that love comes by revelation. And all of the dimensions of God's love, his mercy, his grace, his provision, his healing, the depths of it, that I can know the depths of his love. To know it, not know about it, but to know it. To be a living, breathing, walking love machine. Loving people where you find them, when you find them, how you find them. And you're going to find them in darkness. You're going to find them crippled. You're going to find them empty. You're going to find them despairing. You're going to find them in depression. But hey, before you set somebody free, you've got to be set free. And that's going into the land. That's letting God come into the land of your mind, will, heart, emotions, your spirit, and taking over and dispossessing everything that shouldn't be there, so that filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with His love, you can go and set other people free. That's His plan and His purpose for you. It's not making money. It's not working towards retirement. It's not serving Jesus when you have the time. It's not coming to church on Sunday and Bible study on Monday and prayer meeting on Friday. That's not it. That's part of it. That's good. That's wonderful. But it's loving Jesus every minute of every day. You bounce out of bed. Praise you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I'm up. I'm up. I'm up. I'm up. And I'm ready to go. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Nothing's going to hold me down. Nothing's going to hold me back. We're going for it. And when my time is up, He'll take me home. Nothing else will touch me until then. Nothing. I might have battles, but the battle is the Lord's. I know the warrior that I serve. And he is angry. He is angry at the devils that are occupying his space. In you and in me. He's coming to the church with a vengeance to set us free. The vengeance is not against you and me. He's forgiven us. We're not under condemnation. We're not under shame. We're not under torment. We're not under depression. We're not under despair. He wants to set us free so that we live in the joy of the Lord and the power of His presence. But He's angry. He wants to come in and clean house. And we're going to have to let Him in. You either let Him in or you stay there. You stay there in the solitude. You stay there in a, like, what is it? Three little pigs and the wolf. If Jesus isn't at the door, there's somebody else at the door. And it's the devil and sin and the world wants to come in and possess you. Wants to take over, wants to rule your mind, rule your will, take over your finances, ruin your health, destroy your destiny. Yes, we have an enemy, and our only defense against that is to get Jesus on the inside and the devil on the outside. So, conquerors see prophetically what God has for us by revelation. But here's the part that I like. Are there any tissues down here? Conquerors. Thank you. Can you open that? Conquerors are passionate lovers. Conquerors are passionate lovers. They're passionate. Can you tell I got a little bit of passion? I do. I have a passion for the kingdom. I have a passion to see the bride of Jesus Christ set free. I have a passion to see the devil destroyed. I mean, it's over. It's enough. I've had it. Don't touch my wife. You got me angry. I'm going to get even. You're going to pay. I was on the phone right after that. Actually, it was before that. The devil must be angry at stuff we're doing. I'm on the phone with an insurance agent. I had to renew my, I think it was the auto insurance. And she goes through the whole thing and she says, okay, that's it, Mr. Bambino. Do you have any questions? I said, yes, I do. I said, do you know Jesus? Over the phone. I don't know where she was, in Minnesota or whatever. Do you know Jesus? I had this big silence at the other end. I said, hello? She's crying on the other end of the phone. I said, Jesus loves you. I gave her the simple gospel. You aren't created for depression. You're created to be loved, and God loves you. She's crying, and I mean crying uncontrollably. She could, and this is a recorded message. I'd love to get the recording. She said, She couldn't even talk. I so needed to hear that today. I said, well, I just want to make sure that you know that Jesus loves you and that Jesus is the Lord and the King of your life. Would you say this prayer after me? And I led her to Jesus. You got to be passionate. You got to be passionate. Passion, listen to this. Passion pursues the object of its love. Passion pursues. If you're passionately in love with Jesus, you're going to pursue him. You're going to want him. You're going to seek him. You're going to go after him. You're going to want to praise him. You're going to want to listen to him. You're going to want to love on him. You're going to want to be in his presence. Stop with the excuses. I'm too busy. I got so many other things to do. I got bills to pay. I got to work. I don't have time. You've got plenty of time. You're not using it for the kingdom. And the enemy is robbing you with all sorts of to-do lists and scattering you with all sorts of activity. Listen, Martha. Hello? Martha, Jesus is in the house. And you've got to learn how to minister to Jesus in the house. Don't get busy cooking for him. He doesn't want your food. He wants you to sit at his feet and receive from him his love. Be still and know that I'm God. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of peace. You'll never get peace by running around. Listen, it's a rat race, and even if you win, you're still a rat. I pursued my wife because I found out. I found her. I didn't find Jesus. Jesus found me. But when I found my wife, I said, this is the one. This is the one. I can't let her go. I started pursuing her. We'd go out on a date, and within 5 minutes after I got back to my apartment, I would call her up and say, I missed you. She said, I just said goodbye to you 10 minutes ago. I know, but I missed you. I used to bring her presents. At the present, it's not my birthday. No, I know, but I love you. Here's a present, here's a present, here's a present. I bring her flowers. It doesn't have to be a birthday. I bring her my love. And then she has to go to Spain. Her father's family is from Spain, Barcelona. And in her childhood, she had a boyfriend there. She's going to Spain. Oh, no, no. Oh, no. No, no, no. No, no. And a Spanish moon. No, no. Oh, no. No, no, no. She's not getting away. I was in school. I didn't have any money. I was borrowing money to pay for my schooling. I was working two jobs, but I didn't have any money. I borrowed the money from her mother. I borrowed the money from her mother to buy an $800 ticket. That was a lot of money 600 years ago. And the night before we were to leave for Spain, she knows I'm going now. Okay, that's not enough. I'm not going to beat this guy up. I mean, you know. I proposed to her. Easter Sunday morning, there was an engagement ring in a chocolate egg that I cut in half. And I said, open up the egg. She said, oh, nice egg. No, no, open up the egg. I don't eat chocolate. Open up the egg. It's hard to love some people. She opens up the egg. I put the ring on her finger. She said yes. She was mine. I wasn't going to let her away. Get away. You've got to pursue what you love with hunger and thirst. Passion. Listen to this. Passion liberates from performance. Passion liberates from performance. Nobody's asking me to get up here and do this. I'm doing this because I love Jesus. Nobody asked me to give up staying with my wife and taking care of her. Jesus said, you leave her to me. You go do what I'm telling you to do. My wife agreed. We got a prophetic word. We released it. I'm here under command. But the command is a response to love. I'm not under legalism. I'm not under the fear of punishment. I'm not afraid of being reprimanded for not doing a good enough job or a big enough job or getting enough people saved, blah, 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 blah. Performance is death to a relationship. I'm not performing because I have to. I am ministering, whether it's to Jesus, to my wife, to my children, to my grandchildren. I am ministering out of a love for them. I will do anything for them. What do you want me to do? How can I please you? Are you with me? This isn't about going to church. This isn't about praying more. This isn't about doing more. This isn't about how many souls can you get saved. That will all happen when you rest in the Lord and the power of God flows through you. Things will begin to happen. Prayers get answered. People get healed. Passion possesses with praise. How do you possess the land that we're going into? With praise. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You're going to have some Jerichos in front of you that are going to stand in the way of your going in and taking everything that God has for you. How did they possess the land? They had to get past Jericho. How did they get past Jericho? Through praise, through worship. They surrounded the situation with worship, and they worshiped, and they worshiped, and the walls came down. I had a man just recently. I loaned him money. And he wouldn't pay me back. I said, what's the matter? I can't pay you. Really? Okay. It was kind of a serious situation. I had to contact a lawyer because it was a sizable enough amount, and not to go into all the details. But the Lord said, praise me. The Lord said, praise me. Praise me in this wall. Praise me and thank me for blessing him to be able to pay you. Bless him, prosper him, and cause him to move in his heart to pay me back. So I kept praising him and kept praising him and kept thanking him, kept blessing my enemy, kept blessing my enemy. This went on for a full month. It was getting weary. I said, Lord, when? Bless him. I blessed him some more. Last night at 11 o'clock at night, I get a note from Bank of America. The deposit has been made. That Jericho wasn't going to stand in front of my praise. It wasn't going to stand in front of what I was about to do. I pressed through and praised the Lord. Praise is a powerful weapon. But you've got to have some passion when you do it. Passion empowers you against your oppressors. Passion powers you. You want to go in? You're going to have oppressors. The oppressor of Goliath was there taunting the army of the living God. And they were in fear. I'll bet you if I went through this room and took a poll, I'll bet you at least half of you have some sort of oppression upon you, some sort of threat, the devil lying to you about your health, lying to you about your future, lying to you about a relationship that you're in, lying to you about so many things just to get you down and under the oppression and the fear that something bad's going to happen to you. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. My God is good. My God is good. And how did David take down the oppressor? He got alone. He got alone. He got alone out in the field. He saw the stars. He saw the moon. He saw God's creation. And he said, oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He knew the beauty of the Creator. He knew the power of the man who created everything when he gave him the power to conquer the lion and the bear. And that passion for Jesus, that knowledge of who he is, brought him into contrast with the Goliath. And he said, what? My God is this big. This Goliath is this big. I know who my God is, and I know who you are. Who are you, you filthy, unclean Philistine, to taunt the army of the living God? You come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Passion. He had passion. He may have been small, but his God was big. And he had a revelation of God. And how did he get that revelation? By being still, by waiting upon the Lord, by getting downloads, by getting revelations of the length and the breadth and the height and the depth. And to know that love which surpasses understanding, to know it by the Spirit, I know it inside. My God never fails. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what the politics looks like. I don't care what Iran does. I don't care what North Korea does. Of course I care. We pray. We pray for these situations. But when push comes to shove, my hiding place is the Lord Almighty. He's the secret place of the Most High, under which I abide, and nothing shall by any means harm me. That's passion. It's the passion of knowing this love. You know what John 15:9 says? This blew my mind. God just got me stuck on two passages in John 15:9 and 17:23. And I can't get out of them. I can't get out of them. You know what John 15:9 says? John 15:9 says, as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Oh my goodness. I can't even get that. My pea brain, my little personal computer here, okay, cannot comprehend the fact that the Father's love for Jesus is the same love that Jesus has for me. Boy, that'll change your life. It's revolutionizing my life. Wow, I am loved beyond understanding, beyond anything. I mean, this is not going to church. I'm not earning it. The Lord is downloading it. He's ripping down the altars of Baal. He's ripping down the other things that are confusing my ability to receive his love, like my father image. And then John 17:23. Jesus prays this prayer. Can you believe this? Listen to this. Jesus says, Father, as I am in them and you are in me, that they would be completely one, that the world would know that you love them even as you loved me, that the Father loves me. So now I've got the Father loving me as he loves Jesus, and Jesus loving me as the Father loves Jesus. I am one loved dude. Man, that is more love than my little personal computer can handle, and it's more than my spirit man was able to contain. My spirit man is having to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in order to contain the love of God. But God doesn't want it contained. He wants rivers of living water, rivers of love flowing out of me to a loveless world. So as it flows in, it flows out. I get loved and I love. You know, I think we've got it all backwards. Talk about performance mentality and performance religion. I got hung up on this for so many years. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, I'll keep you. Yes, sir. He's the commander in chief. Yes, sir. I was in the military. I know what that means. Okay, just get out there and do it. All right. I'm under orders. Yes, sir. What do you want done? Yes, sir. But hey, when you're under orders in the military, believe me when I tell you, there's absolutely no love whatsoever for your commanding officer. None. You hate that dude. You would love to catch him in the bar when he's had one beer too many and just take him out. There's no love in that. There's no love in the law. There's no love in trying to do what you can't do. You cannot do what God's calling you to do. You can't love him. You can't love one another. You can't love yourself. You can't lay hands on it. I've laid hands on people. Nothing happens. Sure, you can lay hands on people all the time. But now, with the rivers of living water, when you lay hands on something you haven't got that God gives you, something that's in you, comes out of you, and that person gets healed, that person gets delivered. So keeping the law, I was in the dark night of the soul. What time is it? Are we on? It's almost Monday. At my church, this happens all of the time. I found a wonderful church in Houston. And we have soft dismissals. That means if you can't take it any longer, just slide out. And you're okay, no condemnation. So we're having a soft dismissal today, this afternoon. Just slide out. We're going to have an altar call in a little while. I'm going to challenge you. God told me to challenge you. But I went through the dark night of the soul. It was very dark. Depression, discouragement, defeat, failure, it was all over me. The devil had both boots on my shoulder, pounding on my head, pounding me into the ground. I finally quit. I gave up. I was smart enough to give up to God and not to him. Jesus surrendered to the Father, not to the Romans, not to the whip, not to the Jews. He surrendered, Father, into your hands, I commend my spirit. I knew enough to do that. Father, I quit. And I sat there, numb, for months. And then God broke the silence. There's more to it than this. God broke the silence and he said, son, wow. That was like, I was so deep, I didn't think I could ever hear his voice again. And he said, son, when I called you into the ministry, what did I call you to do? I said, well, Lord, that's easy. You called me to go into all the world and make disciples, preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I've done that. 27 countries up to that point. There's a soft dismissal. You might have to go to the bathroom. That's a little more urgent than a soft dismissal, but that's okay. And he said, I answered, you called me to make disciples, and I've done that. I've been obedient, sir. And he said, Dennis, he said, when did the great commission, go into all the world, supersede the great commandment? Great commandment is love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I said, basically, I couldn't say anything. And he said, the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then the Great Commission. You see, until we have loved the Lord our God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, and that's not by what I do. It's by who I am and the worship that I give him and the time that I give him and the praise that I give him and the thanks that I give him and just being before him and allowing him to love me as I love him. In John 15, Jesus makes it very specific about the vine and the branches. And he said, you must abide in the vine, for without me you can do nothing. Not some of the things some of the time, none of the things all of the time. You can't do anything outside of me. And then he goes on. He says, remain in me. Don't pull out and come back in. Don't pull out and come back in. Continue in me. Abide in me. Dwell in me. That's your living place. That's where you have your residence. If they want to find you, if they want to send you a message, they know that you're in me. That's where you live. And so in order for the vine to produce fruit through the branch must abide in the vine, and the fruit comes naturally. The fruit comes naturally. And you know what the fruit is? This is a seminar, 25 words or less. The fruit is the life of the vine in another form. In the fruit, which is good to eat, taste and see that the Lord is good, is a seed. And in this relationship with Jesus, as I abide in him, he produces himself through me, and I become a visible image of the invisible God. And when people come to taste, to see if God is good, they'll bite into me, they'll get love, they'll get joy, they'll get peace. They'll get patience, they'll get kindness, they'll get goodness, they'll get gentleness, they'll get faithfulness, they'll get self-control. And as they taste and see that the Lord is good, there is an incorruptible seed in what they're eating that will lead them to a personal, living, loving, everlasting relationship with Jesus Christ. So before I keep you past Wednesday, Psalm 24, 7 through 11. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye ancient doors, and the King of glory will come in. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift ye up, you ancient doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord, strong and mighty. He's the Lord, strong in battle. Lift up your heads and ye gates, and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord Almighty. He's at our gates. And he wants to know if he can come in and absolutely 100% take over and fill you with his glory, fill you with his love, fill you with his power, fill you with his presence, fill you with his peace. Because when he comes in, he is the Lord Almighty. And the first thing that he's going to do is he's going to overturn the tables in our tabernacle. He's going to get out the money changers. He's going to rid you of depression and destruction and disease and all sorts of things that the enemy put into your house that doesn't belong there. He's going to heal you from the inside out. He is going to be the God of vengeance against your enemies. And then he's going to fill you with his power. And then you, him in you, is going to go against the enemies of others to set the captive free, to open prison doors, to open blinded eyes, to release those who have been imprisoned and declare the favorable year of the Lord, the year of vengeance of our God. He's got a destiny for you and for me that can't even begin to be explained. Don't settle for anything less, but here's the challenge. Right now, in this time of going in this prophetic season of moving into his fullness, of taking down the Jerichos, of taking down the Goliaths, of getting into his fullness, of getting into his presence, of becoming Christ-like in every which way. That's the promised land. All of the above. God is saying, you and I hold the valve. You and I hold the key on the inside of the door. Behold, I stand at the door. Lift up ye heads, O ye doors. You hold the key to the door on the inside, and he's knocking. Will you let me in? I'm not coming to a hotel. I'm not coming to stay for a couple of days or a week and then leaving. I'm not on vacation. I'm on mission, says the Lord. I'm not coming to take a back room, or a room in the attic, a room in the basement. I am coming to take full possession of your house. I am coming as the Lord of your life. I'm coming as the lover of your soul. I don't want to live with you in the kitchen. I want to go with you into the bedroom. I want us to reproduce. I don't know if I told this story. Do I have time? Are you okay? Jack and I were coming off a plane in Jacksonville from a long missions trip. We get into the lobby. And actually, we were headed on a long missions trip. And we're in the big concourse about to go past security and then onto the plane. And suddenly, the entire concourse stops. I mean, and it was really weird. And in the day of terrorism and everything else, it was like, oh, God. What's going on? And we heard these cries from our far right and people looking in that direction. So we turned and we looked. And there was a little girl. And she was running through the concourse to the ramp that was in front of her where people would come off planes. And she was yelling, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And she's running. And down the ramp comes a man in military garb, knapsack, fatigues, boots, hat. And he sees her running and crying, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. He drops his knapsack. He runs towards her. They crash together and just slump onto the floor in a great big heap of tears and joy. And right behind the little girl was a little boy. And he runs, his legs couldn't carry him as fast as his sister, but he runs. They're in a heap on the floor. He jumps on the heap, and they're rolling around, just loving one another. Tears on everybody's face in the airport concourse. Now, I'm sure. Well, what happened next was the mommy, the wife, slowly walks up, tears in her eyes, walks up. We got as close as we possibly could. We wanted to watch this. She's got tears in her eyes. She walks up. They're all on the floor. He picks up the two kids, and there's this big family embrace. And they walk off. Everybody's crying. I'm crying right now. Jesus is coming back as a conqueror. He's coming back for his kids, and he's coming back for his bride. And I'm sure that they went home that night. And probably the children gathered around his knapsack and say, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, did you bring us anything?" And he would open up his knapsack, and he would have prizes and gifts from foreign lands. God's got so many gifts for us. The children want the gifts, and they're so secure now. Daddy's home. Everything's going to be okay. The war is over. And Daddy would put them to bed and snuggle them in, and they had the best night's sleep that they've had in so many years. He's been gone so long. But then I'm sure that there was a song. I'm sure that there was a song that him and his wife were singing. Tonight's gonna be a good night. Nice man. Hope you can handle this. The children go into their bedroom. The husband and wife go where children can't go. They go into their bedroom to exchange intimacies. God is calling us to be more than children. More than just secure in his love. More than just receiving what he's won when he was away at war and winning it for us. He's calling us to go into the bedroom with him and exchange intimacies with him, which is the ultimate purpose of a bride and a groom. And so I want to challenge you this morning. This is why I'm here. Will you open the door to intimacy as you've never known it before? I'll bet if I went around this room and I asked is there anyone here who has never received Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior that wants to do it right now this morning? Please raise your hand. Please raise your hand. You want to know this God, this conqueror, this Lord, this lover of your life. Anybody? Is there anybody? I can't see any hands. Is there right here? Right here? Yes. Okay, we're going to pray with you. Anybody else? There was one hand. Okay, right here. Two hands. Okay. Okay, you're going to be the first to answer this altar call. I want you to come right up here to the front. Jason, you're going to take position. Come up here. Come on. Come up quick. Come quickly. Come quickly. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're going to pray with you and bless you. Oh, this is so exciting. I'm so excited for you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, do you want Jesus too? Do you want Jesus? You want Jesus in your... Come on, come up here. Come up here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless you. Bless you. Okay, we're gonna pray with you in just a minute. But that's the first step. That's the children. They've just become children of God. And God is your Father. And he's going to open up. He's won the war for you. He's done battle on your behalf to win you, to have you as his kids, so they could spend all eternity with you. Isn't that great? And those gifts include healing. Those gifts include restoration of marriages and family and kids, restoration of your health, restoration of your finances. It's all there. It's all in his knapsack. Isn't that cool? Now, for the rest of you, it's not enough to sit there. You can't sit there anymore. You can't sit there and receive. You've got to give. You've got to give something. You've got to give something to God. You know, the only thing that you have to give is your life. Your sins have already been forgiven. You can't give him your sins. His problems are already being, your problems are already being carried. You only can give him more room in your heart to do something he wants to do from before the foundations of the earth, which is to fill you, your tabernacle, with his love and with his glory. To know his love as you've never, ever, 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 ever known it before. You've got to be willing to say, open up the valve, open up the door. I am willing. I'm willing, Lord, for you to come in and do something you've never done. Fill me, fill me, fill me with your love. I want you. I need you. You're the only thing that matters. I don't want your goodies before I want you. I don't want your kingdom before I want the king. I don't want your gifts before I want the gift giver. I want your love. I want to be able to sit in your presence, be still, and worship you and feel the anointing of your love upon me and in me. And then, Lord, whatever you want, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. It's not about me anymore. It's about you. And I'm so filled with love, I'll let you do anything. I'll let you use me. Send me anywhere. Send me into the desert. Send me to the back streets of Connecticut. But send me home to heal my house, to heal my family, to heal my neighborhood, to heal my school, to heal my town. Lord, our nation needs to be healed, but I need to be healed first, Lord. I need love. I need your love. So here's the invitation. See all of this space up here? See all of this space up here? This has been reserved. It's reserved. I make sure nobody else rented this space this morning. I asked the pastors. I said, does anybody have a right to this space? No, this is for you. This space is for you. As you come and say, Lord, I want you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm not half in and half out. I'm all the way with you. Make your way to the front and begin to declare your willingness to go all the way with Jesus. I want to know your love. Your goodness. God, you're a good, good God. I want all the lies of the devil destroyed. I give you permission to overturn the money changers. All the things that have clogged my life. I give you permission to give me so much worship for you that Jericho's walls will fall. To give me so much faith. Have faith in God, and if you say to this mountain, be thou removed. So much faith in you, so much trust in you, that mountain will move. So much vision, so much of a grasp of your majesty, of your bigness, of your glory, Creator God, that when Goliath shouts, fear at me, I will be so filled with love. Perfect love will cast down Goliath. Shut your mouth. Lift up your gates. What are your gates? Your eyes. Your gates, the gates to your soul. The gates to your heart, your eyes, your ears, even your mouth. Even your hands. Things come into us through what we see and what we hear, what we smell, what we taste. And now God says, open your gates, and the King, of glory will come in. This is not normal Christianity. This is not cultural Christianity. This is kingdom Christianity. God didn't call you to go to church. God called you to be the church. Why do we come together on Sunday? To worship Him. To worship Him. To fellowship with other believers, to become strong in His presence, to support one another, to encourage one another. We gift. When we come, we give. We give. It's not about the offering. That's small compared to the giving of our love one to the next. He said, love one another. He said, this is my command. This is what's going to happen when you abide in me. Okay, what's going to come through you is going to be my love. Why? Because I am love. So what am I going to produce in you? I'm going to produce love. What's going to come out of you? Love. You're going to love one another as you've never loved before. I've had to love enemies that hated me, despised me, stole from me, hunted me. And I loved them. Guess what? They changed. Guess who loves me now?